Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm guest bailiff Monty Belmonte from 93.9 The River, WRSI in Northampton, Massachusetts. This week, Sic Semper Dramatis. Will brings the case against his brother, Andrew. He claims Andrew has a flair for the dramatic and enjoys making scenes in public. He says Andrew should tone it down for the sake of those around him. Andrew says his brother just hasn't learned the fun of letting go. Who's right? Who's wrong? Only one man can decide. Please rise with a twirl and a twist, sashay and curtsy as Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom.
I don't have a lot I want to say, but I'll start by saying I apologize for my behavior at the charity event. I'm the kind of judge that likes to spill the facts. Everything else is just gossip and BS. Here are the facts. I never received a call, a text, or an email from Bailiff Jesse Thorne. What I did learn the night before the charity event is that Jesse had used a PR firm to send evites to everyone, which is why I didn't see it. Fact. You heard me right. A third party. Jesse Thorne wanted you to believe that he sent me an email, and he did not. Fact. If he really had pure good intentions, he should have picked up the phone, called me, and said, hey, let's put our differences aside for a night of charity. Now, I'm a very rational person, Monty. I've been a major supporter to the Shutting Our Pie Holes Foundation for years. I've raised thousands of dollars for them. Fact. All this charity BS is coming from a person that showed up at my charity event last year in a thong and butt pads. Jesse Thorne really has no credibility when it comes to charity. He had beef with Cynthia over the whole coochie crack thing, then moved on to Portia, then to Phaedra over the booty video, and then to Apollo, and now me. I see straight through him. Jesse Thorne is not original. What he's doing has already been done. I've always stood alone in a war, Monty. I might bend, but I won't break. And if I stumble, I won't fall. I see what he's doing, and now so do you. Swear them in.
Will and Andrew, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you Ashton Kutcher or Sacha Baron Cohen or whatever?
I do.
I do.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, even though he has one of those flowers on his lapel that shoots water out at you every time you shake his hand with a buzzer?
I do.
I swear.
Judge John Hodgman, you may proceed.
Will and Andrew, you may be seated. First of all, I want you to know that I am in Western Massachusetts with guest bailiff Monty Belmonte, morning DJ here at WRSI The River, where we record these things when I'm in Western Massachusetts, my part-time hometown, which is the entire two counties, Franklin County and Hampshire County.
It's one giant town.
Yeah. And and what that means is I'm supposed to be on vacation, so I am not having it today. Don't get me started. I will get dramatic on you if you push me too far. So, with that said, for an immediate summary judgment in your favor, can either of you name the piece of culture that I referenced as I entered the courtroom? Will?
Oh, I have no idea.
No.
No? Andrew?
No, I have no clue on that one.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Will, your brother, is accusing you of acting in public like NeNe Leakes from Real Housewives of Atlanta. I was thinking that one of you, therefore, would at least recognize an almost verbatim seven-paragraph quote from NeNe Leakes' own blog in which she apologized for being a jerk at Kenya's fundraiser for saving our daughters. And I watched that, and she was a jerk. She had a lot to apologize for. But you know what? Fact. She likes to spill the facts. So anyway, it turned out to be something of a non-apology apology. Will, you make a serious accusation against your brother of acting like NeNe Leakes in public. Tell me exactly what you mean.
Well, he's just overdramatic, and sometimes he quotes her a little too much.
NeNe Leakes specifically?
Has one specific quote. Yes. Occasionally, he just has one quote of hers he'll do occasionally.
Was it the one I just did?
It's mostly – no. His favorite NeNe Leakes quote is, I'm very rich, bitch.
I'd like to hear Andrew say that?
I am very rich, bitch.
Right. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it one time, maybe. But if he were my brother, this could become a problem.
Nuh-uh, Bailiff Monty. Don't start with me now.
Fact. I can hear that about one more time before.
I will walk out of here. This is supposed to be my vacation.
Don't you walk out of here. I
don't have time.
On my own day.
For your drama,
no,
Monty Belmonte.
I don't have time for your drama.
That's it.
Thank you, Will and Andrew, for joining the Judge John Hodgman podcast. You can sign up for your own courtroom kit.
You cannot bring that attitude.
Fact. You have broken the door.
I broke the door. I broke the whole radio station now, and I'll do it again. I am very rich, bitch.
I am very rich, bitch.
See? Fact.
Will, did our play acting make you uncomfortable? It was not very good broadcasting, especially for a family-friendly podcast.
It did make me a little uncomfortable. I mean, that's what I deal with when I'm out with Andrew in public. That's how he acts around, when we're out with the family and stuff.
And does he, Andrew, do you do this on purpose, or do you also play, do you specifically create drama in order to amuse yourself?
Well, it just comes so naturally to me. I just can't help it. It just flows. It just flows out of my mouth constantly. I just can't stop it.
All right, now where are you guys in the world? Andrew, you can answer.
I am in Dallas, Texas, mm-hmm. and Highland Park right now. Mm-hmm. That's where I am currently.
All right. And how old are you?
I am 21.
All right. And Will, where are you in the world, and how old are you?
I am in San Antonio, and I am 24.
You're the older brother, and do you have any other siblings?
Yes.
Who is your other sibling?
We have a younger sister.
And where is she in the world?
She's also in San Antonio. All
right. Do you have anything bad you want to say about her behind her back while she's not even here in the room?
I don't, but I'm sure Andrew does.
What would Andrew say?
Oh, Lord. She just can't keep her mouth shut sometimes.
Really? She's indiscreet?
She runs it worse than I do.
Really? She says things about people behind their backs? That's the worst, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Is she a rich bitch?
Monty, don't even start now.
Don't you start.
This is my courtroom. You can't just jump in like that.
Fact. You're in my courtroom.
Andrew, I want you to know that the reason I'm hearing this case is that your brother reports to create drama. You once ordered him a martini that was all vermouth. And as a martini drinker, I was so offended and disgusted because that is not a martini. That is a vermouthy. And I don't like that at all. What makes you think that that's funny or acceptable? Go ahead and defend yourself, Andrew.
Well, I just think it's a simple, practical joke. I mean, I thought it was very funny when you took a sip and realized there was no vodka in that martini.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Nuh-uh. Will,
it has to be a gin martini. It depends.
Well, right, Andrew, that's what I'm talking about. But Will, would you normally order a vodka martini?
Yes,
I can't deal with any of this right now. I cannot deal with any of this now. I got vodka tini over here, and I got vermouthy over there. You're both crimes against humanity. Will, does the drama that Andrew causes that makes you uncomfortable take the form of practical jokes, like the old vermouthy switch, or like manufactured situations, or just his natural charming exuberance?
Oh, I think it's manufactured. I mean, one example, we were out at breakfast one morning. I criticized his breakfast choice. He got very upset and yelled at me, "It's people like you who killed Judy Garland."
What was his breakfast choice?
Oh, it was Migas or something like that.
What was wrong with his breakfast choice?
I just, it's not one of my favorites, so I was just saying, I wouldn't have ordered that for breakfast. And the place we went, they don't have very good Migas anyways.
Explain to the listener what migas is, because not everyone's in Texas right now.
I'm not even quite sure what they are.
Andrew, do you know what they are?
Scary to me.
Because I'm about to run out of patience pretending that I know what they are, and I'm embarrassed that I don't know. So Andrew, what is it?
So migas are a breakfast food that have eggs. There's also tortilla chips in them, and there's usually some form of salsa. Generally, I get mine with ranchero sauce, but there are others you can use as well. And that's a typical miga. There's also cheese on the eggs as well. It's quite delicious.
Sounds great.
I like to have them with refried beans and sausage. Oh, it is. It's a great way to start the morning.
I want to have it right now. Why was your brother insulting you? Why doesn't he like good things?
I don't know why he doesn't like nice things. He just tries to deprive me of them. And it's just not fair. I don't understand his hatred of migas.
Now,
they're so delicious.
Can you? I know you won't shy away from an opportunity to repeat exactly what you said in the exact way you said it. So, would you mind telling him that he murdered Judy Garland? Or yeah, role play with me. I'm your brother. I'm like, hey Andrew, I don't think that's a good thing to eat.
You know what? You're the type of person who killed Judy Garland.
And you say it out loud like that, real loud?
Yes, it does come out that loud.
And
that comes out usually when I'm pretty steamed.
Do you tip the table over too, or is that it?
Well, actually, at one point I actually did feel like I almost flipped it up with my legs. I was I felt like it could have tipped over. I almost knocked over a drink. I think I slammed my fist on the table.
I think that's
I'd like to say something if I can.
No, you can't. I think that's a great line, Andrew. What reality star did you borrow it from, or did you make it up?
Well, I believe I made it up. I think it just came out one day when I was talking to my sister. She was bashing celebrities, and I just yelled at her, you know, you're the type of person who killed Judy Garland. After watching some...
I still don't know what it means. What does it mean?
Well...
Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it's just this beautifully... completely non sequitur thing to say specifically regarding breakfast food, but go ahead, Andrew, explain yourself.
So Judy Garland led a very hard life at MGM when she was making all those musicals, and basically they had her on drugs to tell her, you know, for her to wake up and then go to bed. Yeah. And they just kind of pushed and pushed and pushed to get so much work out of her.
Right.
And so when I say you're the type of person who killed Judy Garland, I'm saying you expect so much of someone, you need to stop it because you'll drive them to a really great grave. I mean, it was called the Dream Factory, but look what that got her in the end.
Yeah.
Thing. Oh. Lester Saul.
Does your brother push you too hard?
Yes, he does.
Like, what?
He constantly is pushing me in public.
What? Not physically.
Yes, not physically, but verbally.
Like, give me another example of how he pushes you around.
When we're in public.
Does he give you a lot of drugs and make you sing and dance?
No.
Somehow, I don't think that would be a problem. That actually would probably make him your favorite brother of all time. But your brother Will reported that you consider your idols to be Mae West and Lucille Bluth from Arrested Development.
I love Mae West.
And why? Mm-hmm. What is it about these real human and one fictional character that you like?
Well, I love Mae West. I just love the way she talks, you know. She has that kind of voice. It's like, yeah. It's like, oh. And the way she just delivers her dialogue and her wit, she's so funny. And she just has total control. Same thing with Lucille Bluth. I mean, she's got control and gets what she wants, and always with a martini in hand. And what a glamorous way to live.
So what's the problem with the way Andrew wants to live, Will?
There's nothing wrong with the way he wants to live. It's the way he presents himself. You can only hear him say, I was born for the theater so many times before it just gets so old.
Hang on. I'm going to test that. Andrew, I want you to say I was born for the theater and continue to say it until I tell you to stop.
Okay. I was born for the theater. 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 I was born for the theater.
You were born for the theater. I believe it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate that comment.
That
please don't encourage him.
I will, excuse me, do it again. Five more times. Five more times in five different ways.
Okay, let's see.
Yeah.
I was born for the theater. 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 I was born for the theater.
All right, now that was amazing. Will, did that make you uncomfortable?
Very uncomfortable.
Why?
It's just when you hear it so many times on repeat, it's just obnoxious. Now, especially when it's in public and people turn and look.
Do you think, like, when he told you that you murdered Judy Garland, how many heads turned in that restaurant?
Oh, almost all of them. He said it rather loudly. Almost every head turned, and they're just like, what is going on?
You can tell that I find your brother to be a remarkably charming dude. But I want you to get a chance to really make your case, because I could see how Andrew and I sitting in a public place with him saying I was born for the theater and me yelling again over and over and over again might cause something of a stir, might be disruptive on a podcast called Real Life that is not my own. So tell me a couple of other things that he's done. The kind of behavior that okay. you would like me to prohibit him from doing.
Well, for example, he, my sister, and I, we were at a Chick-fil-A. He wanted a drink. My sister was at the soda fountain. And he yells, out of the way, you strumpet, and pushes her out of the way. Everyone in the Chick-fil-A turned and stared at us. It was embarrassing. Recently we were having to move some stuff around the house, and as we're moving, he just starts singing songs, from all these musicals. And it's just a little bit annoying now, in public and in private.
I allowed you to say Chick-fil-A there, even though I have a pretty strict rule about not mentioning brand names that I often break myself, Moxie. But in this case, I wasn't going to upbraid you because there is no way in the world that you two are a secret Chick-fil-A buzz marketing team. Chick-fil-A,
oh, no.
of all places for a man who was born for the theater to go into, why are you going to Chick-fil-A? Don't you understand Chick-fil-A's position on gay rights?
Yes, I do. That was before it had fully come to light. I had not realized the links that were later brought out by the media. So I since have stopped eating at Chick-fil-A.
Okay. And I'm making no – it does not matter to me whom you guys want to spend the rest of your life with and what gender they may or may not be. I'm just saying, for a lover of Broadway musicals alone.
Someone who's concerned with the death of Judy Garland shouldn't be eating in Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I don't – you know what I mean?
And that's why I don't eat there anymore. I have given up Chick-fil-A. I think it's quite easy to say no to a waffle fries, especially since I can make my own even better. I do say myself.
I would have some of those waffle fries. Will
– Oh, you'd love
them. Any other stories you want to bring up?
Well, I mean, those are the main ones, just these public outbursts. And he does quote movies too often as well.
What
That's
movies?
Another issue.
What movies?
Doctor Strangelove, Gone with the Wind, A Streetcar Named Desire. All of those. Another incident actually involves a tie. It is something – it's an incident he is very bitter about, has never gotten over.
I can hear him. I can hear him winding up. In the background. Let me hear about the tie.
So I was out with my mom and my sister. We went to Neiman's. We were doing some shopping. She saw a tie that was made by Fabergé. And since,
you mean the egg
Andrew
company?
Loves Fabergé. I'm sorry?
You mean the egg company?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But
they make delicious migas.
Monty, that was the last straw.
That was not the last straw.
You just got on my last nerve.
Migas made with Fabergé eggs, delicious.
Too many callbacks, Monty. All right, I'm sorry. Go on. Fabergé tie. Andrew sees it.
He wasn't there. He only heard about this secondhand. So what happens is we convinced our mom not to get it for him. He was off at boarding school and he's prone to be messy and to ruin a lot of stuff by spilling ketchup on it. So we said, no, it's probably a good idea not to buy the tie. Well, he heard about it. And so now whenever we're out and he gets denied anything he wants, he will say, oh, that's just like the time you told mother not to get me the Fabergé tie. And that gets old. He'll yell that in public as well.
Why did you – wait a minute. Would Andrew really have spilled ketchup all over a Fabergé tie?
Yes, he would have.
Because the picture that I'm getting of this young man is not this guy's a slob.
Well, I mean, he has when he did wait staff at his boarding school's dining hall mm-hmm. one evening, he did spill a tray all over everyone. He's rather clumsy.
Oh, okay. All right, Andrew. What do you got to say about that?
Well, first off, they should never have told me about the Fabergé tie incident if they didn't want it brought up later in the future. Because I had seen that tie a while before my mother would decide about getting it for me. And I fell in love. It had little eggs on it and everything. It's like, oh, I really wanted it. And, of course, I was going to get it. And what makes it even madder about it is that they don't carry the Fabergé tie anymore. And so I'm very mad. And I would not have spilled ketchup. And that incident, that was one of my first times waiting at my boarding school. So I was new to it, and I was wearing a jacket. So if I had been wearing that tie underneath, it would not have gotten ketchup on it.
Would you have worn?
I wouldn't have worn
your Fabergé tie to wait on the slobs at your boarding school.
Oh, no, never. I would have worn it to the required chapel afterwards, though. But.
Does your mom and sister share your discomfort with Andrew's flamboyance and loudness?
I mean, I would be rather uncomfortable if I was being called a strumpet in a very loud voice. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes I don't think they like it either.
Now, was it a strumpet? Did he call your sister a strumpet, or was it a stranger, a Chick-fil-A stranger?
It was our sister. He yelled at her that she was the strumpet.
By the way, guys, can you tell how low my energy has gotten? I mean, part of that is because I was up till 3 a.m. picking out dance tunes for my dance party with David Reese next week on the boat. But I'm going on a cruise, you guys. But the other thing is, like, after that initial yell out that I had with Monty, like, I'm exhausted. I can't keep it up. I can't keep up the level of energy that you have, Andrew. Maybe it's because you're 21, but it takes work. Will, I'm going to ask you a very pointed question. And as I say, I don't care who people choose to spend their time in life with. But Andrew, I think even you would acknowledge that, quoting NeNe Leakes and, modeling yourself after Mae West and some of the other mm-hmm. things you've described have an affect that is traditionally associated with a certain flamboyant stereotype of a gay man. Does that track with you? This is not lost on you, right?
No, this is definitely not lost on me. Right. Now, when I was younger, it was. I had no idea flamboyancy was, I'd say when I was in eighth, ninth grade, I didn't understand that flamboyancy was attributed to gay men, especially the kind that the emulation that I do of certain celebrities like Mae West and Vivian Leigh. Right. But I do grasp that. Yes, I do understand that now.
Yeah.
It's a common archetype used in media.
Yeah. And Will, I'm going to ask you a pointed question now that we've established that. Is your discomfort that your brother is acting too gay?
No, it's that he's making scenes. Okay. That's the discomfort. I mean, it's just uncomfortable when, you know, you get all this unwanted attention in a restaurant, especially when you're at a fine dining establishment. And all of a sudden, you know, out of the blue, it's people like you who killed Judy Garland, and everyone's turning and staring and just like, what is going on with those weirdos over there?
Wait a minute. You don't get migas at a fine – that's a diner food.
He was talking about Chick-fil-A.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting the restaurants mixed up. Andrew, do you
It's at any restaurant.
Do you appreciate, Andrew, that there are contextual situations where yelling in a restaurant might not be appropriate? And
you know, I think it'd be even more inappropriate if I were to keep my emotions bottled up. I need to express myself so I can be heard.
Why should you get to enjoy something that almost literally no one else on earth does? All we do is keep our emotions bottled up in order to live with each other.
Well, I say we all just kind of let them all out. I say we all start quoting our favorite pop culture icons. And after all, I was born this way.
But you appreciate the Real Housewives franchise, Atlanta, where mm-hmm. else? New York, Northampton, East Hampton.
Orange County.
The Real Housewives of Greenfield, Massachusetts. You know, that all of these are constructed realities, right? These are very big characters naturally, and I have no doubt that NeNe Leakes and Kenya and everyone else has a certain outsized personality IRL. That's in real life, Monty.
Mm-hmm. Mm, right.
Right. But the shows that you're watching, right, represent a heightened reality that is manufactured by the producers who are egging these people, often quite willingly, on into conflict, into scenes, into yelling moments that if real life were lived at that pitch, we would all murder each other.
I don't know if we would all murder each other. I think some of us would get along quite happily. I will say, yes, I understand it's constructed, but in my case, I feel like I am egged onto those outbursts. So they're partly not all under my control.
There was that time when you found out your mom didn't buy you a tie.
The Fabergé, yes, that did. That did infuriate me because I wanted that tie very much so.
Can you acknowledge that perhaps it's not always appropriate to create a reality show in the restaurant where you and your family are eating?
Maybe.
I have no doubt.
I don't know.
I have no doubt. All right. Will, if I were to rule in your favor, what would you have me order?
I would have you order him to stop the public outbursts. It's fine in the home occasionally, but the public outbursts need to stop.
Uh-huh. Okay. And Andrew, obviously, if I find in your favor,
mm-hmm.
What would you like me to rule?
I would like to rule that my behavior is, let me think. Oh, I'm lost for words right now.
But you were born.
You
were born for the theater.
Born for the theater, but sometimes you drop a line. You just got to keep going on.
How would you have me punish your brother for bringing us this? What damages would you say?
I make him drink another vermouthini.
It's called a vermouthi.
Oh God.
Vermouthi. Sorry, vermouthi.
I just made that up. All right.
I like that term.
Monty, I need you to. I think I have everything I need to make my decision. Monty, I need you to say one thing. Just say one thing. If you say one thing, I'm going to storm out of here into my chambers to make my decision. So don't you even say one thing. Just one thing.
Don't you say one thing. Fact. This is my studio that you're borrowing as your courtroom. He's gone.
You invited me. Fact.
You invited yourself.
Fact. I do more for this radio station in terms of raising morale by yelling in the halls than Rachel Maddow. We can agree on that.
It's people like Rachel Maddow that killed Judy Garland.
Really yelling.
Will, Andrew.
Yes.
The judge is cooling off in his chambers. My question's for you, Will, the accuser here.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
Oh, I hadn't yet asked it, but okay.
Oh.
Why did people like you kill Judy Garland?
Well, you know what? it wasn't people like me who did that. It was people like Andrew, really.
Really? Well, now that those are fighting words.
Those are fighting words.
Will, do you not like to laugh and have fun in the course of your comings and goings, your everyday life?
Well, yes, but not at my own expense.
You don't appreciate a good prank now and again?
Well, I like to laugh, but I don't like to laugh at my own expense.
Will, has Andrew been doing this since childhood?
Yes, yes. And that vermouthini almost killed me.
Well, can you cite one example from childhood of Andrew's behavior such as this?
You know, it wasn't so much the pranks as just, you know, the constant movie quotes. It just wears you down.
Okay, Andrew, isn't it sad what happened to Judy Garland, really? I mean, it's
tragic. Terrible. She died way too soon.
Now, you say that you're born for the theater. Do you really feel honestly in your heart that you were born for the theater?
I do, honestly. I loved being on the stage in high school. I was in, I believe, 13 productions. Well, in high school, I played Roger Debris in The Producers on stage. Who else did I play? And I also was in Annie, and that I had a small role. I played Bert Healy, and I played Lieutenant O'Malley as well, and one of Roosevelt's cabinet members. I was also it's all coming a blur now. I know that if I count them back, let's see.
Top three favorite Broadway musicals of all time, Will. Andrew.
Okay. That's a difficult. Well, right now, I'd say I'm really in love with Wicked. I love Cats. Oh my God, I love Cats.
Who is your favorite Galinda in Wicked?
Oh, Kristen Chenoweth. You can't beat Kristen Chenoweth. We saw her and he pouted the entire time.
Andrew, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm looking at an avatar of you on Skype and looking at you. You look like somebody who is not in love with the theater in your avatar. You look like you could be a rugby player. So I was going to call BS on your whole shtick here for a little while. But I think you have proven yourself with these obscure Roosevelt cabinet members in Annie, as well as knowing that Kristen Chenoweth right off the bat is the ultimate Galinda.
Monty, can I just say I can't even.
No.
I cannot even.
This is my time right here.
No,
this is my podcast. This is the time that I talk.
This is my podcast.
This is when I get to talk to them and then you come back.
I came back like 30 minutes ago into your Broadway podcast with Andrew. It's not. I can't even do this anymore.
Let's talk about.
I'll be back in a moment with my verdict. Fine. Here's a message.
Fact.
Hello, I'm your Judge John Hodgman. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is brought to you every week by you, our members, of course. Thank you so much for your support of this podcast and all of your favorite podcasts at MaximumFun.org, and they are all your favorites. If you want to join the many member supporters of this podcast and this network, boy, oh boy, that would be fantastic. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by the good folks over there at Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. All in one place, all on your terms. Time, Jesse.
Have you heard about this Squarespace Blueprint?
No. Tell me all about it.
Squarespace Blueprint lets you choose from a professional layout and build a website for your product or your service or your creations from the ground up. You can accept payments, including Apple Pay, among other things. It is all seamless and easy and comes out gorgeous, whether or not you went into it with big time skills. That's what Squarespace is all about, helping you express yourself and helping you share your work with the world.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/Hodgman to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Made In.
Oh, when you're trying to buy cookware, it's like there's so many questions, so many choices, so many pros and cons. But you should know, Made In
has only pros. Pros like Tom Colicchio, Nancy Silverton, Brooke Williamson. That's right. I changed the meaning of pro from good things to professionals who use Made In because they do. Professional chefs love Made In cookware because it's got so many pros.
Can I tell you something about Nancy Silverton, one of the Made In pros?
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
My friend used to work for Nancy Silverton or one of her restaurants. And not only did she adore Nancy Silverton, but Nancy Silverton personally catered her wedding.
That's a real pro move, if you ask me.
Yeah, just like getting Made In cookware. These are people with taste, if you get my double meaning.
I do.
This isn't a Johnny-come-lately company. This evolved from a 100-year-old kitchen supply business. And they work with multi-generational crafters to put together every single piece. So includes carbon steel, stainless clad, plateware, glassware. I know, John, you love all that stuff that you have in your cabinet.
Yeah, I got the glassware. I got the plateware. And I definitely love that carbon steel. And I've got, and I love their stainless steel. It's got exactly what demanding chefs and I dare say demanding judges look for when they're buying cookware.
And you don't have to find a kitchen supply store. They sell it online. It's delivered straight to your door with the quality that the pros use.
And can I just say, it's at a fraction of the price of other top brands. That's for real. This is really good stuff and it's really affordable. And yet, as affordable as it is, I'm going to tell you this. Judge John Hodgman listeners get 10% off full-priced items from Made In. For full details, visit madeincookware.com/JJHO10. That's madeincookware.com/JJHO10.
Okay, please rise as the Honorable Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom.
Don't you take a tone with me.
No, don't you.
Don't take a tone with me. Not today. Not today of all days. This was supposed to be my vacation. Oh, hi, Will and Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well.
All right. There's no question in my mind that Andrew is, this comes to him naturally. It is not affected. He is boisterous, loud, born for the theater. Andrew, what are you going to do with your life?
Well, in the true end, I would love to act, but I also plan to get involved in the film community or theater community any way I can. Whatever I could do, write, direct, produce, even just be a PA to start with. I'll do whatever it takes.
When are you moving to Los Angeles?
Well, that might take some time. I'm waiting for someone to graduate after I graduate. So it might be 2 years, sadly, but I will be in Dallas, and there's some great opportunities here for me to get started so I can at least get myself a name built up. Yeah. But I'd like to, in all honesty, I would love to move to L.A. right after I graduate, which might happen. Yeah. I might just leave and go to L.A.
I mean, I wish you the very best of luck. You are
Thank
a natural,
you.
But you're driving your brother crazy.
Yes, mm-hmm. That is true.
Do you love your brother?
Well, yes, I do. Well, you've been through so much together.
And Will, you love your brother.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Here's the thing. It is not ever this court's intention to tell people to act in ways that are unnatural to them or to discourage them from expressing themselves. It is hard. It would be very hard for me to find in your favor, Will, under almost any circumstances, barring the fact that Andrew might be hurting a human being. But luckily for you, he did. He almost killed you with vermouth.
Yes. Yeah.
And that, to me, is the tipping point. That is too far. That's what killed Judy Garland, almost literally. I think that might be true.
Oh goodness!
I think she might have had some. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because after after a while, right? Judy Garland grew up, and she didn't have the Dream Factory pushing the drugs on her. She became a grown up, and she, despite the addiction issues and obvious traumatic scarring she had had from being a child star, as an adult, took responsibility for her life, because that's what happens. That's what being an adult means. And I am saying to you, Andrew, you should not change. I think you're fantastic. And I think that I think you should not strive to rein yourself in unless you are aware that you are causing other people discomfort and harm. Harm in the form of vermouth, discomfort in the form of discomfort. I have no doubt, Andrew, that you will have a reality show of your own someday. But right now, right now, the world around. Thank you. That was
you're
a sincere.
You're going to be producing the show.
That was a sincere thank you. I know. I'm going to put you. I'm going to put you and the Fresh Banana Man.
That would be a great show.
Jonathan, the Fresh Banana Man. That's a, you know, I already got the Bat Brothers. That was my, you know, the Sturdivant brothers who lived in the house full of bats. That was going to be Judge John Hodgman presents Bat Bros. It was going to be the greatest, but then one of them decided to move to Thailand and send me pictures of Canadian pizza boxes. He failed me. He failed me. But you, Andrew, you could go all the way. I'm going to put you up in Maine, and you're going to be a rival banana salesman to Jonathan, who's the Fresh Banana Man, and it's just going to be banana wars. This is a pretty good show.
I like it.
I like this show a lot.
I was born to work at a rest stop.
Just seeing you and Jonathan. I have a letter, by the way, folks, to read from Jonathan. He wrote in from Maine. But in the meantime, the world is not your reality show, right? I mean, the thing is that if you yelled and cussed and acted out as much as people on the reality shows that you love, society would break down. And I think that an occasional outburst, right, is funny, but you got to go easy on these practical jokes. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought because I'm so tired, Monty. Don't start. I'm tired.
Here, I made you a martini.
Oh, thank you. Well, now, here's the point. Don't ever change. You're fantastic. you got to be a little bit. I advise you to be a little bit more aware of your surroundings. It is time for you to be an adult and take responsibility for your actions and appreciate that the world is not your reality show. If your brother is clearly uncomfortable with the attention that you are drawing upon yourself, it is a courtesy to your brother whom you love to say, You're just like the people who killed Judy Garland. Maybe just not say it at the top of your lungs, right? You should take it easy on the practical jokes because no one enjoys them. No one likes practical jokes except for the person who's pulling the prank.
And everybody around them.
No. Maybe the people who are watching at home, but there's no one watching at home yet. Go out and get a practical joke show, and then you can do practical jokes on your brother. And then that's your livelihood. You have to do it. But appreciate that, you know, Your mom saw that tie and wanted to buy it for you. She is showing courtesy and love for you. You need to show courtesy and love for the people you love in your life and just the people who are also just trying to eat their migas in peace. So I am not ordering you to stop with the scenes. I am asking you to be contextually aware. You may not adulterate a martini again, either of you, or I'll be really mad. You may pull one final prank on Will that causes no one harm in order to pay him back because your mom should have bought you that Fabergé tie. Will, that was wrong.
Yeah.
And then you're even. You're grown-ups. You're going to wait for whoever it is, and you're going to move to LA, and you're going to find people who will love to talk like Nene Leakes with you all day long. But because of your love for your brother, just keep the volume down a little bit, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Be a grown up.
Yes.
Be a grown up. That's all. You are if you really feel like you have to make a scene, I order you to do it in Chick-fil-A. If you walk into Chick-fil-A, all bets are off. You know what I mean? Like, that is total free speech zone. Everywhere is free speech zone. Do you understand, Andrew? I'm not ordering you to do anything. But I am asking you to remember your love for your brother and appreciate that he loves and supports you, even though he blew it with the tie. I think he does love and support you. The people around you don't know what's going on, and they get scared if someone yells out in a restaurant. You are fantastic, and you also have to appreciate that other people, right, are also fantastic, even if they're not loud. And so don't make them squirm. Unless it's Chick-fil-A and they deserve to squirm. So this is, I find in Andrew's favor, I can't repress speech. I do encourage you to appreciate that you're a grown-up man.
I would just like to say thank you and that I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
Oh God! No,
that's something I can't rule. He said that. Look, I can't stop a person from quoting a movie.
Some people didn't even get that was a cult ref,
right? And the other thing is, like, he said it at at the right time, in a proper tone. It was kind of a dud joke, but you know that's what you learn in life. Do you know what I mean? But he didn't scream. He didn't go. He didn't say boo to me. He didn't throw a vermouthy in my face or anything else. That's totally allowable. I'll allow that. You know what I mean? Just make sure that your reality show that you're enjoying is enjoyable for everyone else. I find in favor of Andrew with the caveats that I've mentioned. No damages shall be awarded. Oh, no, one damage shall be awarded. Andrew, you may pull one final prank on Will that doesn't cause him any harm. And then you also have to give him a hug because you guys love each other. This is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules that's all.
Andrew, are you happy with the judge's decision?
Yes, I am quite happy with the judge's decision. I'm very pleased with the verdict. I'm now plotting what that last practical joke will be.
Do you have any like early leaders?
I'm trying to think.
One that I taught my son, who's obsessed with Wicked. He hides in a shopping cart at a supermarket or something, or where there's a roll of paper towels over him. He pops out at the cash register and says, "What year is it?" And then I say, "It's 2014." And then he says, "I made it!" And then he jumps out of the carriage and runs away. It's just a
wait thought. A minute.
We actually did that.
I spent a lot of time, first of all, trying to figure out the connection between that story and Wicked. That was a misdirect.
I'm just saying that they both have a tendency towards flamboyant things. For example, my son walks around the house all the time quoting Wicked, so I can see from Will's perspective how that would be totally annoying. But, Andrew, what's your favorite song from Wicked?
Oh, it's definitely Popular by Kristen Chenoweth. We saw her perform that just last Friday. I just love the way she does that.
Whenever I see someone less fortunate than I.
And let's face it, who isn't less fortunate than I? My tender heart tends to start
to bleed. Are we violating some sort of copyright law?
Probably.
I hope not.
I see it. I don't even have the energy anymore.
It was a transformative work.
Andrew, I think it's just to film everything that you do and call it a reality show, and then you subverted John Hodgman's ruling.
Put it on
the internet and then become a star.
I'm about to take back the prank, actually. The prank has
Please do.
Yeah, you know what? I'm taking it back. Sorry, Andrew.
Now, Will,
here's what's going to happen. I'm going to take back the prank because this could go too wrong in too many different
ways.
He's
going to make it so good that it would be bad.
And what I'm going to order instead is that, Will, you got to go on eBay or whatever, and you got to find that tie, and you got to buy it for your brother. That's better.
Oh, God.
That's a good one.
Oh, yes.
How much would it cost? Thousands of dollars?
Too much.
How much? What's your job, Will?
I don't have a job.
All right. You know what? Both of you get jobs. Then
I do have a job.
What is your job?
I would just like – I sell cosmetics. At a cosmetic store.
How much would a Fabergé tie cost?
Oh, I cannot remember. It was so long ago.
But I mean, now they don't make them anymore, right?
I can't find them. That's the problem. I mean, yeah, everything's just changing. It's very hard now to find these Fabergé ties, I think. I haven't seen one in, I guess it's now maybe 7 years.
The world presses in. I feel like I'm watching Grey Gardens right now. This monologue is fantastic. I feel like you're just wandering. You're just like wandering around an old house, talking to yourself about ties.
I love the Beals of Grey Garden. Hey, God rest their souls.
Andrew, let me tell you something. You guys both get jobs, right? Because then you can be like me, John Hodgman. You're talking to a guy who saw. Get ready, Monty.
I'm ready.
You're talking all your Broadway stuff. I saw Wicked on Broadway, original cast.
Boom. Oh, I wish I could have seen Joel Grey as the wizard.
Yeah, I did. I did see him. I saw Kristen Chenoweth, and I saw Idina Menzel. Yeah, saw it.
My heart.
Boom.
Andrew, the guy who does the makeup for Wicked lives right down the street from this kangaroo courtroom in Northampton.
You think
you do cosmetics? I would love to introduce you to him.
You think you're more real than me? You think you're more real than me?
No. No.
All right. No. Which one of us Look. Which one of us spent the night in Grey Gardens, the house?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Which one of us slept in their bedroom? Which one of us drank a martini from a glass that I found in the house, and only as I was drinking it did I see the monogram EBB, Edith Bouvier Beale. Big Edie. Mic drop. You guys are my new reality show. I'm putting you both to you, the new Bat Bros.
I like this. start filming, Will.
I forgot even what we're supposed to be doing in this pot. We're supposed to be clearing the docket.
Yeah, we're good. Then we're going to go. Well, thank you, Will and Andrew.
Oh, hang on. I want these guys on for the docket.
You want to stay? Hang on for the docket?
Yeah, I want to hear their opinions.
We're going to clear the docket with you, Will and Andrew. You get to.
Docket Bros.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Michael writes, my best friend Peter and I are in a two-man book club. The idea is, one, to push ourselves to read the books we've always meant to read, two, to have some structured hangout bro time, and three, to hear each other's insights on the books. We've tackled 8 books together in the last 2 years. I've listened to 2 of these books in audiobook format. I feel that listening to an audiobook is a perfectly valid way to participate in the book club. Peter says it's not really reading. Recently, Peter announced that he would not be finishing Nabokov's Pale Fire, a book that he signed, no less, even though I had already finished it. I found reading Pale Fire to be quite challenging, but I persevered and made it through. Because Peter cannot follow through on his own book choices, I am now seeking a gag order restraining Peter from ridiculing my preferred method of enjoying a book in my presence.
Well, I already said that I don't order gag orders, but, well, Will, what do you say?
Well, I would say that listening to books on audio tape is a perversion. That is not what books were meant for. The text is living and you need to interact with the text and not just sit there and listen.
Andrew, what do you say? Andrew, what do you say?
I have to agree. I think books on tape are abhorrent unless you have to use them in case you have something that makes it to where you can't read. I say the real way to really enjoy the book is a physical, hard, you know, paper book bound in some fashion, and really interacting and really touching and feeling and experiencing the joy of that literature.
Bat Bros agree. Monty, I know where you stand. Verdict is, you guys are both wrong.
Yeah!
I don't listen to audiobooks because I can't get it in that way. And I on the record in the New York Times Magazine saying that you should not, if you listened to a book on audio tape or whatever they use these days on wax cylinder, you cannot say, I read it. You say, I listened to it. It is not the same thing as reading. Here I agree with you guys in that it is a different cognitive experience than actually sitting down and reading the book and interacting with the text. As you said, Will, I presume that means acting it out. I don't know. It is a different cognitive experience of the same work, but the difference is so minimal that in the case of the book club, certainly having listened to Pale Fire would count as, is the equivalent to having read it. And this dude should not bully his friend.
Judge John Hodgman, you turned me on to The Song of Ice and Fire, the Game of Thrones books, years ago.
Yep.
Listened to all of them in audiobook back and forth commuting to work for like a year. I have three young kids, would never have had time to sit down and experience that.
You wouldn't have enjoyed it at all.
I would not have had the opportunity to enjoy it in any way, shape, or form. And I do audiobooks
even though
I commute all the time.
Even though I made the time to read it.
Well,
I'm saying they are different experiences. I agree with both of you guys. But one is not, we shouldn't be snobs about it.
And earlier this year, I finished the audiobook version of Les Mis.
Okay, that's enough.
You know, that's just as bad as watching something like Lawrence of Arabia on an iPhone. That's just as bad.
It's not.
No, it's not. It's not at all just as bad. That is
terrible.
It uses a different part of your brain, and some people prefer that part of their brain and can actually understand things better using that part of their brain.
Yeah, it's not the same thing at all, Andrew, because Lawrence of Arabia.
I used to like you.
Shh. because Lawrence of Arabia on an iPhone is you are still viewing the movie, but
you miss so much.
I know,
it was meant to be on a big screen.
No,
you
I know
see all of it.
I know. I agree with you. It is a categorically lesser experience to watch Lawrence of Arabia on an iPhone compared to seeing it projected well at the Coolidge Corner Theater in Brookline, Massachusetts. That is absolutely true. That is a lesser experience. But this is, I hate to use the term in a court of law, separate but equal, listening to an audiobook versus reading an audiobook, different cognitive experience, but one is not measurably better than the other.
I think David Lynch would disagree.
Well, David Lynch is crazy, but what I'm saying,
he's fantastic. He's a true auteur.
Reading, you know, you can't even use the, like, this is the, reading a book was the way it was intended to be experienced, because reading aloud has been part of reading since reading.
And writing is just writing what was being read aloud or
so, Andrew, don't
aloud.
You even start with me on that.
Yeah,
now.
We're not.
Right,
I'm
next.
We're in a fight.
This is the feud that's going to keep have people coming back to the Docket Bros. Go on.
Tracy writes, I have a dispute with my daughters, Emily and Haley, regarding people watching. My family was waiting in line to order food when I saw a young man who was wearing a Renaissance Fair-worthy puffy shirt and button-up vest. Not unlike the one that
just
Andrew
read,
had to
just
get
read right, it. Right. On, just read
I
it,
I indicated with raised eyebrows to my family to take a look. I was admonished by my two daughters that, quote, he can wear what he wants. Moments later, a young man came by with an unusual hairstyle. Both my daughters raised their eyebrows and nodded toward the young man with the conspicuous hairdo. I had to call them on their hypocrisy. They say it's okay to comment on someone's hairstyle or haircut because a hairstyle is a long-lasting fashion decision. Clothing is a daily choice. I say any obvious conspicuous style effect is used primarily to draw attention to oneself, whether it's negative or positive. Acknowledging someone's unusual style is socially acceptable. What say you, Judge?
Well, Andrew, you're someone who attracts attention to yourself. What's your feeling on this one?
Yes. I think, first off, people watching is fun, but people will do what they want. And I have to say, it's I don't care what people wear. They can do what they want. I'm a big fan of, you know, forward fashion or interesting hairstyles. I think, you know, it's all a little performance in itself. You know, we perform our gender and such. So I think, you know, it's I think
But here's the question, and Will, you can chime in if you want. I appreciate your reticence.
Sure.
Are the daughters hypocrites?
Yes.
Okay. Well, all right. That's yes. And what about you, docket bro named Will?
I'm sorry. What were they doing wrong? I don't understand.
The issue was they made some sniffy eye roll at a dude dressed up for a Ren fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, dad.
It was the other way around.
Dad made
that.
A sniffy eye roll at a dude dressed up for a Ren fair, and they were like, "Dad, you can't comment on him." And then the girls made a sniffy eye roll at another dude who had some kind of haircut. And the dad said, why can you do that and I can't do that? And they said, because their argument was a haircut is longer lasting.
More permanent.
I think
especially if it is a permanent.
Yeah. I think you can see where this is going. The girls, those girls are hypocrites.
They are hypocrites. Right. You can comment on anyone if you like, as long as you do it in a respectful way. I mean,
and you could shout people like you killed Judy Garland at somebody's hairdo that you don't like.
No, you can't do that. You can think it or you could say it to your friend, but you can't shout at someone for looking different because that would make them uncomfortable. The whole point of this whole conversation is to make sure that we all get along and aren't throwing tables over at each other all the time. Oh, I know you knew that, Monty, but this is the point. If you dress or act or choose an affect that is designed to draw attention to yourself, you should expect some attention, and I hope that it's always positive attention. That said, you can also it is a fair game to, without causing anyone any harm, to look to your sister or to your dad or to your brother and go, check out the dude with the pirate shirt. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
Those girls think they can get away with it because they're girls. An old man isn't allowed to do it. And they love dudes from Ren fairs and they hate haircuts and they are guilty. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Guys, do you guys know? Let me ask you a series of questions and you can answer truthfully. Do you guys know where you can find out about all of my upcoming shows?
Your website.
Right, johnhodgman.com. And if you want to get fancy, just hit a slash and put tour on there. And you go directly to, I got shows coming up in Los Angeles. I think we're booking Atlanta, North Carolina. In fact, the Research Triangle, which I recently ruled was not as good as Philadelphia. And guess who's having me come to a show? Chapel Hill. No, it's Raleigh. And guess who isn't? Philadelphia.
Ooh.
I know, right?
Cool.
Rough. We can talk about that at the shows. You can also buy my limited edition Ragnarok collector's kit and survival kit. Go to bit.ly/survive Ragnarok. It's just that simple, you dudes. Check it out. You get a urine flask and survival mayonnaise. And I forgot to even mention last week a beautiful... You'll like this, Andrew. A beautiful cologne, a signature Hodgman cologne, that I worked up special with Drom fragrances. It's a real thing, and it's for men and women, and it smells good. You know, so check it out, Hodgman by Hodgman. Do you guys know how to submit a dispute if you have one? Obviously, you do. Go to maximumfun.org/jjho, and you'll go directly to a submission form, or you can write me at Hodgman@MaximumFun.org, as did recently Jonathan from the Kennebunk southbound I-95 service station wrote me a letter. This is the man who sells fresh bananas. And you should listen to what he has to say, Andrew and Will, because I may send you up there to live with him as part of a reality show. Hello, sir. It has been about a month since my last personal note to you. I apologize for the delay. School has taken up a great deal of my time. There has been a great deal of interest from your fans in what I do. I no longer keep track of how many of them have visited me. As usual, they have been courteous and respectful towards me. I am noticing that there is a growing desire in myself to see where this might go next. I do not feel that remaining the way I was before our encounter is even possible anymore. I am marked. If I tried to work elsewhere, I would be noticed. I find myself in the position where I have to decide if I want to pursue a public lifestyle or abandon the public sphere entirely, because now I cannot do both. not prudently anyhow. I am not sure what to ask of you, advice, mentoring, or training. Jonathan, I'll continue to read your letters on the air, fake air, and I will write back to you. I cannot train you in your life any more than I can offer anyone advice by calling in, but I'm glad to know that you're doing well. And as you can see, Andrew and Will, people who appear on the show, their lives are changed. I bet you, Jonathan, you probably could probably get a job somewhere else, and people would accept you, even though you're now a internationally known podcast phenomenon. But keep selling bananas, and we'll have more updates from Jonathan in the future. Andrew, does this seem like a guy that you want to get into a banana war with? Are you willing to live in Maine for 2 years?
2 years in Maine? Would I be a lighthouse?
We can probably shoot a season in 3 days. I think it. Whoever sells the most fresh bananas. Anyway, if you write fresh bananas, apparently, according Jonathan has checked it out. If you type in fresh bananas here into Google, the top four results relate to him. You can find his Twitter feed and everything else you need, and you can continue his goals. Since you guys have been such good sports, are you guys on Twitter?
No, I am not on Twitter. Sadly, I have not yet started that.
You just do Instagram. That's what all the kids do, I hear.
I had a Tumblr at one point, but then I got too obsessed, so I had to leave Tumblr.
Is there anything you want to plug aside from Chick-fil-A?
Well, I guess.
Well, you think it over. In the meantime, this week's who gave us the this week's title?
Jason Eusis.
Thanks, Jason. Our show is produced by Julia Smith and edited by Mark McConville. This is the end of my vacation. I'll be going back to my regular non-studio next time, where Bailiff Jesse Thorne will once again greet me. But thank you once again, guest Bailiff Monty Belmonte and WRSI The River. Anything you'd like to plug?
March 19th, I'm going to be camping out on the courthouse lawn in the cold in downtown Northampton to raise money for a local cancer charity. So you can go to WRSI.com and find out all the details and donate a lot of money or fresh bananas.
There you go. Now, boys, something you want to plug, Docket Bros?
I'd say something that I support the arts. Don't bootleg DVDs or films, because at some point they lose some of the process. So really support the arts and show your support to the artistic community.
I would say yes. And especially if you know that the majority of your money is going to the artist.
Yes, if you know. Yes. Right. Especially if you know the money.
Well, if anybody sees me out in public, please feel free to buy me a nice vodka martini, extra dry with olives.
No, gin martini only, everybody. Guess what? That's my prank on you. I want everyone in San Antonio to buy Will a gin martini and never stop. Also, we all have to read Pale Fire the next 3 days. All right, I gotta go. This has been the Judge John Hodgman Podcast. Thanks very much, guys, for hanging around. Monty Belmonte, we'll see you next time.
The Judge John Hodgman Podcast is a production of MaximumFun.org. Our special thanks to all of the folks who donate to support the show and all of our shows at MaximumFun.org/donate. The show is produced by Julia Smith and me, Jesse Thorne, and edited by Mark McConville. You can check out his podcast, Super Ego, in iTunes or online at GoSuperEgo.com. You can find John Hodgman online at AreasOfMyExpertise.com. If you have a case for Judge John Hodgman, go to MaximumFun.org/JJHO. If you have thoughts about the show, join the conversation on our forum at forum.MaximumFun.org and our Facebook group at Facebook.com/JudgeJohnHodgman. We'll see you online and next time right here on the Judge John Hodgman Podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.